views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, a podcast focused on helping you remember who you really are, awaken to what you already know, and trust that you are absolutely perfect for the role of being you. My goal is to help you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life that you've come here to live. Today, I thought I'd talk about sibling rivalry. Definitely a parenting topic and certainly something that can help you to be a vibrant and powerful mom. So this is one of my few podcasts that will be most relevant if you have more than one child. However, the ideas that I'm sharing will also help if you're a teacher, if you work in a daycare, if you're a coach, if you're a grandparent, and even for those who only have one child but who often likes to invite other kids to come for sleepovers or to go camping with them or that kind of thing, where we don't call it sibling rivalry, but if those kids have difficulties, it can be the same kind of idea. So in the case of sibling rivalry, there is a lot of emotion around it. That's one of the things that makes it so difficult to handle. Not only is it irritating, but it's also hurtful. And what's interesting about it is, in the case of sibling rivalry, you get this feeling of someone is hurting my cub, right? So that mother bear instinct kicks in. But wait, the monster that's hurting my cub is my other cub. What did I do wrong to raise such a monster? So we have a lot of different mixed feelings that come about as a result of it being our own two kids that are fighting. This can cause guilt, confusion, fear, and it awakens both your protective instincts and your moral alarm. So if others are watching us, it's even worse. So the way that we look at sibling rivalry is going to influence how we feel about it and what we're going to do about it. So there's actually a couple of dominant beliefs out there. The first one is that kids fight. So let them work it out and all will be fine. It's kind of like survival of the fittest, which works great if you're the fittest, but not so good if you're not. The truth is that kids are resilient and they learn a lot from working out disagreements with their siblings. Coddling or overprotecting our kids actually sends a message that they're not capable. So that affects their resiliency, and that can be a big problem. But the presumptions that this way of thinking is based on is that, first of all, kids come here with the skills that they need to already work out their difficulties. We know that's not true. We're still learning skills, so of course they are too. It also assumes that we as a parent have the self-control and the ability to stay out of it and to just let them deal with it. Also, that if and when you do react, that you'll be able to go in there calmly and settle things. It also assumes that kids are equally matched. The typical result, if you just let kids work it out for themselves, the bigger one, or the one who's willing to hit the lowest, to be the meanest, is going to win. It will desensitize them to crushing others, to getting their way all the time, which leads to bullying. So not a great thing to do. The smaller or nicer one, the one who's less willing to throw the punches, can often go into victim mode or revenge mode. They can grow up to hate each other and to never have anything to do with each other, and they can develop trust issues. So that way of thinking really doesn't serve us as parents. The second one is that sibling rivalry is bad and that it's our job to stop it. The exact opposite of the first one. And the problem with this way of thinking is that it assumes we have control over our kids. Like we have this button to push that makes them behave the way we want. Like, okay, that's not all right. I'm just going to push this remote and you're going to stop doing it. Yeah, that's just not our reality. Anytime we believe that we should eradicate something, you know, if we're going to take it on, we're going to fight sibling rivalry and eliminate it, we actually give it more power. We attract more of that kind of energy into our world. So this is definitely not a helpful way for us to think. It also can make us think more in a punitive mode, like I'm going to make you listen to me. You will respect what I'm telling you. And it can even make you feel like a failure when your kids fight, because if you did your job right, then they wouldn't be doing this. None of that helps us to create the kind of family environment that we really want to be creating. And I can tell you that militant rules, you know, where you just put your foot down and you force them to listen, that doesn't allow our kids to think and to really learn what we want them to learn. So one of my main goals here today really is to help you form a new belief around sibling rivalry, because both of these underlying assumptions and beliefs do not work. Because both of these beliefs really aren't effective and they don't help us to help our kids. So instead, I would like you to take a step back and look at sibling rivalry from the perspective that it is not bad. It's an opportunity for our kids to practice skills that they're going to need throughout their lives. They'll need our guidance to learn how to do that, and we will likely need to set limitations on what is okay around us, you know, or okay in our house. But having disagreements with others is a natural part of life. Kids fight for a variety of reasons, and how we deal with it is going to change depending on the reason. So, for example, if they're fighting to get your attention, which is the number one reason that kids will fight with each other, that sibling rivalry occurs, we need to deal with it differently than if they're fighting because they have excessive energy and they simply need an outlet for it. So becoming aware of the underlying cause of the struggle helps to guide us in how to proceed. Common reasons that kids argue is to get our attention. They feel an injustice has been done, and so they want to right that wrong. Because they spend a lot of time together, and so it makes sense that you're going to get on the nerves of the people you're around a lot. Because the family is a safe place to vent your frustrations, you know, or you at least feel that they're going to love you no matter what. Because their social skills are still developing, they're still learning how to work things out, how to empathize more, how to get along with others. Or even because they're tired, they're hot, they're hungry, they're stressed, they're grouchy, or otherwise bothered. They can also be so full of energy that they just need a way to get that physical release. They also might feel like they're not getting their way, and they really, really want their way, at least sometimes. Now, there are a few reasons that kids will fight which tend to be a bit more serious in nature, and I just want to tell you about them because in these cases, you might need to get some extra help. So it could be that they actually have a personality conflict. They do not like each other. Now, this can go way beyond personality conflict. It can have to do with karma and past lives, which means that they've chosen that sibling and you know, set it up so that they can work through this together. So for sure, then you want to help them learn how to work it out. Some will do it because they really like that feeling of power. And so if you just allow it to run its course, they will become a bully, because that's what happens with power. Too much power and you start walking all over other people. They also can be jealous or resentful of their sibling. This can even happen because one sibling is really sick, and so they're getting all the parents' attention, and it feels like they're getting all the love, and the other one is kind of falling through the cracks. Or they might have special rules that, you know, one has to behave in a certain way and the other one is given all kinds of freedoms. It can even be because of parent favoritism, where you like one child more than the other, typically because they're a little bit more like you, but sometimes that's actually what causes us to fight with them more. So you never know. They can also act out because they're being treated poorly elsewhere, and so they feel really powerless, maybe at school or on the bus or on their hockey team or whatever. And so they now take it out on their sibling because they are trying to get back some sense of power and control. There can be a chemical imbalance, and that can be interfering with their behavior that is okay, you know, treating others the way they should be treated. And they could enjoy hurting others. They could have a sociopathic tendency. And then finally, they can have something that's getting in the way of them being able to empathize and to feel remorse. And this isn't necessarily a chemical imbalance. This can be something like a wiring of their brain, like autism, that sort of thing. And so in all of those cases, these are kind of like red flags. This is where you probably want to seek out more help if you suspect that this is the reason that your kids are fighting. And that help might come in the form of parenting support. It could be a social worker, it could be mental health worker, family counselor, psychologist, whatever is going to help you figure out how you can best support your kids, because in those cases, often you will have to step in. Sometimes changing how you parent by participating in a parenting program or hiring a coach or whatever can create enough of a foundation for things like jealousy, resentment, the bullying tendencies, personality conflict, those kinds of things to all correct themselves, or at least to provide your kids with the skills that they need in order to tolerate one another. They might always have a little bit of a challenge in really liking each other, but they can at least tolerate each other. So understand that in some cases, you will need outside help. And that's a little bit different than what we're talking about here today. Okay? So the role of the parent in sibling rivalry. So the first thing I want you to recognize is that you need to establish clear family boundaries. It is perfectly fine for you to decide what is acceptable and not acceptable behaviors in your home. In fact, it is necessary. That is guidance. That is structure. That is important for kids. Doesn't mean they won't test the boundaries. It just means that you need them to be in place. The problem is, often we think we have clear boundaries when in fact we haven't really shared them with others. We haven't really stopped and focused on them. And so it's not easy to enforce a boundary or abide by a boundary that you don't really know about. But what I want you to get from this is that the first step to dealing with sibling rivalry is actually to become aware of what are the boundaries in your home. What are those bottom line behaviors? What's okay? What's not? Why is this important to you? How are you going to enforce it when somebody crosses that line? And then you even want to talk it over with your partner. If there is two or more of you involved in raising those kids, you want everybody to be on board and to know about it. In the case of divorce, it's very possible that you're not at the space where you can actually get your ex to enforce the same rules as you. That's okay. That's not what I mean here. What I mean is those people who are working with you and who are helping you to raise your child, that they are fully aware of what the rules are. Okay? So even though when they go to the other home, the rules might be totally different and that might be very frustrating for you, as long as your boundaries are super clear and consistent, it will not be a problem. It will actually help your kids to be very resilient. So it's all right. If you miss out this part of the sibling rivalry step, then you're going to have confusion, inconsistency, and overreaction. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you have a 12-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old son. Your husband also has a 13-year-old son, and he lives with you on alternating weeks. Now, in your mind, there's always been this unspoken rule that says boys do not hit girls. And when it was just you and the kids, you simply did not allow hitting at all. But when your husband joined your family 5 years ago, the boys were often rougher with each other than your kids ever were. But your husband felt that this was normal for boys, and so you decided to let it ride. Now, on occasion, their roughhousing got out of hand, but overall, they seemed to enjoy it, and as long as they were in the basement and not bothering you, you didn't really mind that much. So what if, one day, you walk into the room right when your 14-year-old son hits your 12-year-old daughter? The chances of you really reacting in that situation are huge, because in your mind, it's clear. He's bigger. He should know better. Boys do not hit girls. That's never been okay. And just because he does this with his stepbrother does not mean he can act out in this way with his sister. Now, whether or not you agree with those points is not what's going on here. I want you to recognize that the point is what you think is already a clear boundary for your kids is not clear at all. And that allows for confusion. It allows for testing of the limits, but as I already mentioned, kids will test the limits anyway just to make sure you really know your boundaries and are going to enforce them. And perhaps most importantly, it will really set you up for overreaction. Even misguided anger at your husband is very possible, because you might blame him that if he didn't let the boys do what they did, then, you know, your son wouldn't be hitting your daughter. So you want to make the rules as clear as possible. You want to share those rules. You want to talk about them. And, you know, be prepared to explain them at the start, why it's important for you. Talk to your partner about it. Make sure that he's on board too, especially in blended family situations, but even when it's not. In my house, the rule was very clear. You hit, you sit. This applied to everyone and every love tap. It had to be clear for it to work, and it had to apply to everyone. So my husband often had to go and sit because he'd give me a little tap on the butt as I'd walk by. The kids would see it, and that was that. So the clearer you are with rules like these, the better it is for your whole family, especially when your kids are young. As they get older, you can lighten up on those rules and change them to grow with you guys and with your kids. You do not need a rule, you don't even want a rule, for every possible bad behavior. Just be clear on your bottom line. So we treat each other nice, you know, nothing physical. You don't hit, you don't bite, you don't spit, you don't try intentionally to hurt someone. We respect each other's property. We do not destroy things that belong to each other. This creates trust issues, and it can also get people thinking revenge. So we're not going to do that here. This is a bully-free zone, would be another example. You're bigger and stronger than your little sister. If you use this to hurt her or to get her to do things she doesn't want to do, then you are bullying, and there will be consequences for bullying. So that is the first thing you want to keep in mind. You want to create and enforce very clear boundaries. The second thing when it comes to sibling rivalry is you want to teach your kids social and emotional skills. Often we're taught these kinds of tools in our work environment. You might take a course there on getting along with problem customers or conflict resolution or being assertive or negotiation skills. But we don't always recognize that this is something that we need to teach at home. Your kids will be more open to the idea of learning these skills when they're younger, and they will absorb much more from you modeling it than from you telling them what to do. So kids will definitely benefit by being taught these kinds of skills. If you don't know how, then it's a really great idea for you to start learning them. We actually become comfortable with a lot of these skills in the Sisterhood of Vibrant Moms, which the link will be up on my site. So please check out that option. If you're looking for a way to do this, it is a really great way to get the support, to get opportunities to really practice them and understand them in a safe environment. So here's some of the skills I'm talking about, just to give you an example. iMessages. What are they? Why are they important? And how do we use them in a way that feels natural and works? Problem solving, empathizing, compromising, synergizing, active listening. So these are just some of the skills. Assertiveness is definitely another one. And these are all things that we actually need to learn how to do. Some of them come naturally to some of us, but most of them are something that we have to learn. The third step is to be aware of how you might be adding to the problem. Yes, you, Mom. Unfortunately, we add to the problem often a lot. If your kids really want your attention and you react to them fighting, they score. This means that you've become a weapon they're using to get their way, to get the other one in trouble. So if this is the case, you really want to remove yourself from playing referee as much as possible while teaching your kids how to work it out themselves. So in my house, it was clear, if you want me to be the ref, I will put you both in the penalty box. So it's in your best interest to work it out. And you need to do that by following the boundaries that we have in place in our house. But do it, work it out to the best of your ability on your own. Let me know if you need help with that. Something else you need to know here is often parents are an igniter, okay? So rather than just referee, that means that they add fuel to the situation by overreacting, stepping in when they're not needed, always siding with the one that they see as weaker, having a favorite, and so on. So once you know what role you play, you can decide whether or not what you're doing is okay with you. As long as you're oblivious to it, you're going to continue to create the very thing that you're actually trying to eliminate. The fourth step is to give them permission to disagree. Ooh, that's a tough one for a lot of parents. Anytime you give someone permission to do something, you remove the power they could get by doing it without your permission. Interesting. What this means is that by saying something like, you know what, you guys have the skills for working out disagreements with each other, and so from here on in, I'm going to let you practice them. Remember our house rules and understand that it will always be in your best interest to work things out without involving me. When you do this, you remove part of the temptation for fighting with each other. Because if they were fighting in part to feel the power, this helps to take it away. So those are four things to keep in mind when it comes to decreasing the amount of sibling rivalry in your home and even helping your kids to get along with other kids when they come over to visit. The more you understand this challenge and work to use it in a positive and skill-enhancing way, the less your kids will fight and the more peaceful your house will be. So here's some final tips to keep in mind. People always believe they have a good reason for what they're doing. So when you walk in on something and you're right away thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe you guys did this, stop and take that objective viewpoint and wonder, okay, what would they have been thinking? Maybe even ask them, but don't do it as a confrontation. What were you thinking? Instead, say, all right, help me to understand what's going on here. I see there's marker all over the wall. I know we have a rule about writing on the walls. And so I just don't understand. Help me to understand what's going on. The second point is that anytime you're dealing with sibling rivalry, it's always going to be in your best interest to stay calm and to deal with the problem in a matter-of-fact way. The way we behave anytime an altercation occurs between our kids is always going to influence the learning. It's also going to influence the potential outcome and even the memory of that situation. So your job is to stay calm. The referees do not get into the fights. It takes two to tango. So you need to remember that even the sweetest, most gentle-seeming child, even if she has a very angelic face and just seems so sweet, is fully capable of starting a disagreement and lying to you. If you let him or her get away with this simply because they're smaller, they're cuter, it seems like, you know, they couldn't possibly be doing anything wrong, then you are giving them a major taste of power that can result in a lot of problems. The next point is that when you hear the words, "I'm telling mom," know that you have become a power card in that interaction. It doesn't mean that you aren't needed, but it is possible that you're being played. So you want to learn how to avoid that as much as possible. If you become the neutral zone where there's no judgment, just a sounding board willing to give suggestions, they'll stop coming to you except when they really need you. When my kids were young, my first response was always, "Do you need a hug?" And then often the answer was no. I would say, when they said no, I'd say, "So what do you need from me? Do you need help telling him you don't like what he just did?" And probably some of the time they did want my help. Most of the time what they were hoping for is that I would react, that I would take over, that the other one would get in trouble. There's a lot I could say about that part, about the difference between tattling and telling, and how it will train your kids to come running to you to get the other one in trouble. So that's something to keep in mind. And then finally, having a preset consequence will help you to stay calm when you do have to step in. It's very hard for us as parents to stay calm. Remember, your one cub is hurting your other cub, or even if it's your sister's cub is hurting your cub, you have a really good chance of overreacting. So you want to be practiced. You want to know what your consequences are, what your boundaries are, so that you can calmly step in and deal with it to the best of your ability. So that's it for today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it with others, rave about it on social media, and give it a positive review. With much respect for you and the journey you were on, this is Debbie Pokornik, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.